Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is another update on the situation with regards to Russia, and specifically the international sanctions that have been brought in against Russia, and also the world of business's response to what's going on. We're seeing a lot of companies starting to exit from Russia and not want to have any dealings with Russian companies, and that's going to have an impact in Russia, but it's also going to have an impact for the rest of the world. And unfortunately, it's likely that it's going to lead to cost increases as people have to source a lot of things that they were previously buying from Russian businesses elsewhere. And also, it's likely to result in shortages of certain goods and materials, which will drive up prices, which will drive up inflation. And we've already got a major problem with inflation. So in this video, I'm going to give you an update with regards to what's happening with the ports. So I talked in a previous video about airspace, and a lot of the countries around the world had started to ban Russian aircraft from its airspace, and we're now seeing a similar sort of response with regards to shipping and ports. So I'll go through that update. I'll then talk specifically about shipping and cargo transportation, because that's another area that's come into focus today. I'll then give you an update from the two other oil super majors who I didn't cover in the previous video because there was no response from them at that point. But we've now got an update from Exxon and Total Energy. So I'll tell you exactly what they are doing with regards to this crisis. I'll then provide you with an update on the US's position with regards to airspace. And we'll look at a few specific companies who've come out and made some statements. So Apple and Ford and Dell and Nike have all stated what their position is. And then briefly, I'll touch upon Ukraine itself in terms of what's happening with regards to a lot of companies that are based in Ukraine and also the Ukrainian exports. And then finally, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of all of these new developments are in terms of global trade, the economy, and the likelihood that this will result in a new global financial crisis and recession. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you at some point during this video to give me a thumbs up if you're enjoying the content, and please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters in my videos, so if there's a section that you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next topic. So as you'll know if you follow the channel, Russian aircraft have been banned from a lot of airspace all around the world. All of the EU have banned Russian aircraft, as have Canada, and that is hurting the Russian airspace industry. But we're now starting to see a response on the ports side of things. So far, the UK and Canada have banned all Russian shipping from docking in any of its ports. So essentially what this does is it prevents Russian exports of predominantly oil and liquefied natural gas from being able to be delivered into the UK and Canada. So essentially, this is preventing Russia from exporting its main two products. This is what Russia relies upon for a lot of its revenue. It's a very oil and natural gas rich country, and it exports the vast majority of its output globally. So being banned from ports would be a major issue from Russia. Now, at the moment, the EU, which is Russia's biggest trading partner collectively, have not introduced a ban, but individual countries within the EU are all calling for a ban. So France have said that they're considering a ban, as have Spain and a variety of other countries. So it looks quite likely to me that the EU will follow the UK and Canada and will introduce a ban. Once they do that, this is going to have major ramifications for Russia, but it's also going to have major ramifications for the price of oil and natural gas. Russia supplies a large percentage of the supplies to the EU. So banning Russia will hurt Russia for sure, but it will also hurt the rest of the world because it's going to force up the price of these essential materials globally. So I think that's why the EU is taking its time making a decision on this ban, because it knows that as soon as that ban is introduced and formally in place, then we are going to see oil prices and natural gas prices go up even higher. We've seen oil spike above $100 per barrel, but I think once this ban is cemented and in place, then we could see it going much, much higher than it is right now. Separate from the ports ban, we do have some shipping issues that are already starting to impact on global trade and the movement of goods and products to and from Russia. Sovcomflot is Russia's largest shipping business. It moves a lot of oil and natural gas, but also is in charge of moving a variety of other goods. And Sovcomflot is one of the companies that has sanctions against it right now. So it was identified as being a key player for Russia. And so there is now an embargo on all of its ships, including any ships that it also has a relationship with. So it doesn't have to be a ship that's directly owned by Sovcomflot. And we've seen an instance just recently where the French authorities seized the ship that was traveling in the English Channel because it was operated by this company. So we've already got a ban that's in place that will be impacting on the amount of oil and natural gas that can be offloaded into any port around the world. So although we don't have the port ban in place right now in Europe, it is effectively stopping a lot of that transportation because of the sanctions against this company. In addition to that ban, we've got some specific news from three of the major container companies. So shipping containers are the way of transporting most goods and products around the world. These things are massive, and companies load up their goods and products into the containers, and then they are moved by crane onto cargo ships and then transported all around the world. And Russia is a big importer and exporter of a variety of different goods and products. Three of the major shipping companies, Maersk, Hapag-Lloyd and MSC, have all announced that they have stopped dealing with Russia. So this is both imports and exports to and from Russia. So without any access to those companies, that means that Russia is now cut off in terms of its international trade. So that's bad news for Russia, but as I keep repeating on these videos, it's also bad news for the rest of the world because Russia is a big importer. If you follow my videos, you'll know that I recently posted on this topic and it imports around about $300 billion worth of goods every single year. It also exports over $450 billion worth of goods. So cutting off this trade will mean that a lot of companies that sell goods into Russia will no longer have access to that market. And that lost revenue and profit could mean a reduction in the number of employees, and therefore we'll see that ripple effect going all around the global economy. In my previous video, I provided details on Shell and BP's announcements that they were exiting all of their operations from Russia. And this was quite big news. Shell had around about $3 billion worth of assets on its balance sheet that it was disclosing in Russia. And BP had a much larger exposure. It owned 19.75% of Rosneft. And that equated to about a $25 billion investment. So those companies are both walking away from those investments. There's no details on how they're going to do that, whether they're trying to sell those stakes or whether they're literally going to write off their full investment. The two remaining supermajors that have significant investment in Russia are ExxonMobil and Total Energy. ExxonMobil is an American multinational business, and it has just announced that it is exiting from Russia and halting all future investment. And Exxon has around about $4 billion worth of assets currently located in Russia. Now, this is really big news because Exxon has been working in Russia since 1995 and established its operations on Sakhalin Island in 2005. And Sakhalin Island is a huge island off the east coast of Russia. And this is an oil-rich area. And Exxon has set up three different sites which it operates and where it drills for oil. Now, Sakhalin Island is relatively close to Japan. And the operations that Exxon has on the island are in conjunction with Rosneft, the large Russian oil developing business, and two other Japanese companies. These Japanese companies have not made categorical statements yet as to what they intend to do with regards to their investments in Russia, and they are considering their positions. In terms of the size of these fields, they're quite significant. In 2021, Exxon was producing 220,000 barrels of oil per day from these sites. And when you think about $100 per barrel, that equates to around about $22 million worth of oil coming out of the ground every single day. Exxon hasn't given a formal timetable for its exit, but it's already started evacuating all of its employees from Sakhalin Island. In addition to the three oil development sites that Exxon has, it's also been investing into the new liquefied natural gas plant that's being set up on Sakhalin Island. It's referred to as Sakhalin 2. So this is a big blow for Exxon. It's not massive in terms of the value of the business. And when you look at $4 billion, it's a relatively small part of Exxon's assets. But going forward, the reserves that this island has are significant. This would have provided Exxon with revenue and profit for at least the next 20 to 30 years. So by upping sticks and leaving Russia entirely, it's leaving behind a lot of value. When you're working in the oil industry, there is a lot of cost that's incurred up front. Obviously, it's very expensive to set up drilling facilities and refineries and plants. And once that's done, then you sit back and watch the profit start to come through. So Exxon have been through the heavy lifting phase of this project. They started it in 2005. So we're 17 years into this. So this is now the cash cow stage of this development for the business. So it must be quite sickening for the management team of Exxon to have to walk away. Obviously, there are political issues, and I'm not going to get into those debates in this video. But from a business point of view, this is a bad time for Exxon to be walking away because all the hard work's been done, everything's set up. It's now just at the very profitable stage for the business. So disappointing for the management team of Exxon. And I'm sure similarly with the liquefied natural gas plant, a lot of investment has already gone into that plant and it's getting to the stage where they will start producing gas. And there is massive demand for liquefied natural gas from China and Japan and various other countries around the world. So again, this will hurt Exxon going forward. It may only be a relatively small part of their business today, but this would have produced lots of profit for a long period of time for the company. Total Energy is a French business that has significant operations in Russia. And the news from Total Energy has been relatively surprising. They have announced that they will no longer be investing in any new projects in Russia. But unlike the other three majors who have interests in Russia, they have not advised that they're pulling out of the country. So they're continuing with their investments and they're continuing with their existing operations. Now, the reaction to this announcement has been fairly critical around the world. We're seeing all other major companies pulling their operations from Russia. Nobody wants to have future dealings with any of these Russian companies. But all Total Energy have stated is that they will no longer be investing any more money into Russia. So they want to keep what they've got. And I think this is a reflection of the fact that Russia is a major part of Total Energy's business. The Russian fields equate to 24% of Total Energy's current reserves. And last year, Russian output equated to about 17% of the total revenues for the group. Total Energy also has a 19.4% share in Novatek, which is the largest Russian producer of liquefied natural gas. So what we're seeing now is a conflict within Total Energy between their economic requirements and their political position. So they've decided that the economics are too important to the company to be able to walk away from their Russian investment. The US has now joined the EU and the UK and Canada in banning all Russian aircraft from its airspace. So all commercial flights have now been cancelled between the US and Russia, and no flights coming out of Russia will be able to travel across US airspace. Russia will no doubt impose an immediate counter ban on the US, preventing any US aircraft from entering its airspace. And as I discussed in a previous video, this will have a big impact on a lot of the airlines around the world. Because firstly, they're losing air traffic. They're no longer running commercial flights between the US and Russia. But also, it will add additional cost because flights to places like India will now have to take a different route. It will take longer to get there and it will cost more because they'll be using more fuel and there'll be delays in terms of the timing. And the knock-on impact of that for the logistics is negative for the airline industry because the planners will then have to work out how they're going to get various planes to various locations at the right time. So this will have a cost implication for the airline industry and will be negative in terms of the global impact because we'll see less air travel, which means less people needing hotels and taxis, less people shopping at airports, and will quite simply lead to a reduction in the amount of business and therefore reduction in revenues, reduction in profits, and will have a contraction effect on the global economy. In addition to the US ban, Boeing have now come out and stated that it will no longer provide any support or assistance to any Russian airlines or any businesses affiliated with Russia that are chartering or hiring or have bought any Boeing aircraft. So this strengthens the sanctions against Russia, makes it more difficult for Russian aircraft to actually operate, but it will also have an impact on Boeing because their maintenance and spares division provide a lot of revenue and profit to the company. So they will be reducing the amount of trade that they're doing and therefore will have less profit. And that will also have that contracting effect on the global economy. We're seeing more and more announcements from businesses who are advising that they are no longer wanting to deal with Russia and that they are suspending all of their Russian operations. So Ford have now announced that all of its plants in Russia have been suspended. Ford started winding down its Russian operations in 2019, but it still has a relatively significant amount of employees who are working on truck manufacturing. This is no longer a major part of Ford's overseas operations, and last year Ford sold around about 22,000 vehicles directly into Russia. Apple have announced that it has suspended the sale of iPhones and all other types of Apple equipment, and it's also suspended its App Store in Russia. In addition to that, Apple have also stopped the Russian news channels from having access to any Apple equipment. Alongside Ford and Apple's announcements, Dell and Nike have also announced that they are suspending all sales in Russia with immediate effect. And finally today, I wanted to touch on the impact of this crisis on Ukraine. There are a number of multinational companies that have facilities and operations in Ukraine, and the Ukraine is also a big exporter of agricultural products. I may post a video separately on this because I think it's probably worth delving into a bit more detail. But companies such as Coca-Cola, Nestle, Sumitomo, Carlsberg all have big factories in Ukraine that produce a variety of goods that are exported all around Europe. And all of those factories are currently closed and a lot of the employees are being repatriated. So clearly there will be no output from any of these operations for the short term. Potentially this could go on for some time. And that will have an impact on the economy, both locally in Ukraine, but also around the rest of Europe. Ukraine is also a big exporter of barley, wheat, maize, and corn, and is the fourth largest supplier of food materials to the EU. Now, obviously, at the moment, the production and distribution and export of all of those products is suspended. So this is going to leave a hole in the economy in Europe. And the knock-on impact of that is that it will cause shortages and drive up prices. And we've already got food prices at record levels, so we could all live without any further upward price pressure. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, we are seeing more and more of the sanctions starting to kick in. We're seeing issues with regards to the ports and shipping and the ability of Russian ships to be able to deliver oil, liquefied natural gas, and all of the other products that Russia exports. So those sanctions are kicking in. But alongside that, we're also seeing individual action by corporates. So a lot of multinational corporates have now decided that they no longer want to have any form of any dealings with Russia. So they are exiting from their operations in Russia and walking away and leaving a lot of these assets behind. So one of the big questions here will be what happens to these assets, what happens to these investments. It may be that China decides that it wants to join forces with Russia, and it might step into a lot of these empty shoes. So we could see the Chinese coming over and investing heavily in the oil and natural gas industries and essentially taking the place of all of these Western businesses. And that might be a smart move for China, because there is a lot of profit still to be made from oil and natural gas and some of these other operations. So I don't think we will see an ultimate collapse of Russia unless China and India decide that they don't want to be involved, they don't want to step in and become business partners with these companies. But what we are definitely going to see in the short term is an increase in prices. We will see shortages of a variety of goods, predominantly oil and natural gas. If all of the ports do close to Russian ships and nobody is allowed to accept delivery of any of these items, then it will definitely drive up the prices globally, because the EU and the UK will then have to source more oil and liquefied natural gas from the rest of the world. So that's potentially good news if you're a company sitting somewhere in the rest of the world with lots of supplies that you can now divert into Europe. But it's bad news for consumers, because prices of oil and gas are going to rise rapidly. So we could see oil prices getting towards $200 a barrel at some point during 2022 if all of this Russian oil is embargoed and nobody wants to take it. So that will then have a direct knock-on impact to everything, because the production of all goods and products requires the use of energy. So once energy prices start rising dramatically, it will cause price rises across the board. And we've already got incredibly high levels of inflation in most countries around the world right now. So any further upward price pressure will mean more inflation. And that's going to mean that governments have to hike up their interest rates. And that's going to cause a problem with anybody who has any debt. So if you've got a mortgage that isn't on a fixed rate forever, or you're a company with lots of company debt, then you're going to have to pay more in interest, and that's going to mean less disposable income, and this is all leading towards a recession. We potentially could get to the situation where we've got extremely high levels of inflation and falling GDP, and that is a disastrous situation for the whole of the world. So unfortunately, I think the developments that we're seeing right now are leading us all towards shortages of various goods and products that people need. We're going to see price increases, and that is potentially going to lead us into a very deep recession, potentially at some point in the next 3 to 6 months. So unless this crisis is solved very quickly, which it doesn't look like it's going to be, I think it's likely that we're going to see the global economy pushed into recession before the end of this year. So that's not very good news, but hopefully it's useful information, and hopefully you appreciate the level of detail that I'm going into in these videos. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and also subscribe if you haven't done so already.